Thank you. Okay, this morning we're going to open our Bibles and look at baptism as it's found in the scriptures. Let's start with a reverse Bible drill. I'll give the verse and then we'll see who gives me the reference first where it's found. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Okay, good. Ephesians 4:5. What constitutes that one baptism? So a lot of our doctrinal books that we have, whether it be Defense of the Faith or Baptist Way, books that were put out a generation or two back, we'll list the order and the necessities for baptism. One of the phrases that they use that we still hear quite a bit today about alien baptism, in almost all the writings of those individuals from 30, 40, 50, almost 100 years ago, alien baptism is almost always referred to as Protestant baptism coming in and now just not having any acceptance. We don't accept and won't recognize that Protestant baptism because it doesn't have proper authority, proper administrator. Those are really the two. Historically, and even today, there are other things that will constitute good baptism. But I suggest to you, and when I use that term, just anything that disqualifies, anything that isn't good scriptural baptism, acceptable baptism, is alien baptism, because there is only one. Okay? But that one baptism I need to speak of just a little bit is not... We live in such a generation and a time when language and what we say does matter, so I want to be distinct on this. That one baptism doesn't mean just immersion. It doesn't mean just baptism with the Baptist name on the outside of it. It isn't inclusive. I don't want to be offending anybody, but I'm going to state this just to make it obvious. It's not inclusive of any and everything that we or the world calls baptism. It is practically exclusive, except for baptism administered by a New Testament church through an ordained minister of individuals or toward individuals that have made profession of faith, desiring to serve the Lord. There you have, even in the statement, the way that I just gave it. All four, practically five, as long as we understand immersion is found in there also. The purpose, mode, the candidate, the authority, and the administrator. Anything other than that is alien baptism. It is not to be accepted. It's not to be recognized by the Lord's people. This is a well-familiar verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. Even in a lot of Protestant circles, they recognize this, even though it may be worded slightly different in some of the modern Bible versions. But very little understanding, sometimes even among God's people, what one baptism constitutes. Maybe because of the confusion the Bible brings up, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes even among our own people, and one of the reasons why we're given so much attention to John's baptism or Jesus's baptism, or we're going to look in the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians pretty quick, baptism of Paul or Apollos baptized. Was it good? Was it not good? Was it to be recognized? If it meets those qualifications, yes, and it is that one baptism. But that's not something that I determine or any of our doctrinal books, but that's how the Bible sees and recognizes it. Okay. One baptism. Now, because the Bible speaks up, how do we know that it's not talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit? When it says there's only one baptism, the Bible mentions different, a couple of different baptisms, doesn't it? Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with that y'all don't know anything about. Well, they had the same baptism of John that he did. One baptism. Somebody give me either other biblical reference or practical reason how and why we know that's water baptism. One baptism, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's so simple. Basic. We all know it. But ask that simple question among ourselves here, and nobody's quick to answer. Brother Sean's just shaking his head. Come with me to John chapter. Well, I'll ask that again at the end of class. We'll see. Okay, I'll give you another chance there. John chapter 3. Oh, somebody has their hand up? Go ahead, Christian.
Was it that John was sent to baptize?
John was sent to baptize with water. Read that out of the scriptures. And I'm not going to run on it. Real big rabbit on this, but that is a point that comes up even in our history books that Christian discusses, because the matter that we talked about a few weeks back with John Smythe, they were following and they were just going after the pattern and the example of John the Baptist and starting baptism again. That was, it's God's order. As long as we do it in a biblical order, we're doing the same thing that John did, aren't we? That was their argument. In baptizing one another without authorities and without a proper administrator to be established. Brother Sean?
You guys are afraid. It's Holy Spirit baptism. We have water baptism.
Yeah.
Commanded to do that. So if it's the Holy Spirit baptism, then we have two. God's a liar, John.
Then we have two. That's why I bring that, because the Bible talks about more than one. But it tells us there in Ephesians chapter 1, there is only one. That one is what we're to give attention to. And as even as common as it is in the world that we live in, it is not spiritual baptism. That's what's emphasized. And many times even among our own people, that's maybe because of how it's used in the world. And if you pay a lot of attention listening to Christian radio and Protestants, they're not going to give a lot of attention and emphasis on water baptism like the Bible does. And I bring it up because if there is only one baptism, we need to discern between the two and figure out which one is the baptism that matters and that we're to preach and practice. If there's only one faith that goes along with that one baptism. Otherwise, Brother Sean's exactly right. We've got two or three or four, and if not a contradiction, at least a lack of understanding and recognition of what Ephesians 4:5 is talking about. Look, Brother Christian, read this scripture verse first.
John chapter 1, verse 33.
Okay.
And he said, I know not, but he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom? And I shall see the Spirit descending and remaining on whom, saying as he was baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Okay. I was sent with that reason and that purpose, John says. And there's other scripture verses, even in the Gospels, that emphasize that about John. When it's argued, first on the Isle of England, and then here in the United States, because remember it was the same issue that came up even with, what's his name, Roger Williams? If there's not a good scriptural administrator, we're just going to baptize one another, and we're doing it after John's baptism. That's the biblical pattern, isn't it? That was their argument. Why was that baptism not any good? John was sent specifically with that reason and purpose intended in mind. He didn't do it just because it was lacking. And that's established, I mean, throughout John's ministry. I will take some time. I know I'm already 15 minutes into mine, but if you're not familiar with, you know how to answer that simple question that I gave a few minutes ago. John came with the authority to baptize that for that particular purpose and time was greater than, if you can imagine, the baptism in the authority of Jesus. John says, well, if you're baptized, I need to be baptized of you. It was not only prophesied, but John's purpose of coming and preparing a people beforehand included that baptism that he was commanded and ordained son of God to do. It wasn't just something done out of necessity because nobody else was available. Mm-hmm. That's the argument that John Smythe and Roger Williams use. That's not how John's baptism started. John was sent specifically and prophesied in the Old Testament in Isaiah and Malachi with that purpose. It's never implied, and they never even tried to give that argument, whether John Smythe or Roger Williams, to have that same authority and that same commission. That's why their baptism wasn't any good. If you don't understand that, you're going to run into a lot of Baptists that still want to practice that today. There are those, and it's documented in Christian's writing, there were a lot of particular Baptists in England that thought that's how, that was, the baptism was okay that way. It's not, because it's not the same thing as John's baptism. John had that reason and purpose even before coming, and his qualifications and God's attention to him as an individual even before his ministry started, his birth. It all, not his birth like Jesus's, but why so much attention given even in his early life? He was sent from God with that purpose. The one baptism we're never commanded or expected, or and it's never followed. It's never something that Jesus even took part in or is associated with Jesus, is the baptism of the Spirit. I know it says that he will there in Matthew chapter 3, and he does on the day of Pentecost. He's not even there. It's in his, by his authority. But that's not the one baptism that Ephesians chapter 4 is. That in the epistles to the churches, the one baptism that we're commanded is the same baptism in the Great Commission, not the baptism of the Spirit, but water baptism that Jesus practiced that would fulfill all righteousness. That was not baptism of the Spirit. That's water baptism. And if anybody has doubts about that or is confused by that or come from even any of the modern charismatic Christian persuasion and don't see that or don't realize that because you've been told otherwise, let me show it to you in Scripture, because it's all over if you look for it. They were never to continue in this baptism of the Spirit, but water baptism is not only practiced but commanded in everything that's found in the New Testament. That is the one baptism, and I want everybody to know that. If it's not that one baptism that's given to the church in the commission and practiced in the examples over and over again, then it doesn't qualify. It's not one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5. Therefore, it is alien baptism. It's not to be recognized, considered, practiced, respected, carried on. That's the only thing that qualifies for that one baptism. Questions, comments? I mean, I'd hope that was simple and basic, but at least there didn't seem to be a lot of confidence 5 minutes ago when I asked that. Brother Jake, or Alex.
Well, like Matthew 3:11, so baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. So that's a one-time event.
He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
And so the water baptism, to make you a proper candidate to be able to join the Lord's Confessing Church and have access to that comfort.
It was necessary and requirement even for that. And I can evidence that because even before and on the day of Pentecost, what's being emphasized to those after the time of Jesus in the first chapter of the book of Matthew. What's one of the qualifications for the apostles? It was John's baptism. Water baptism. Okay, hands up. Questions? Yes.
Even with the tabernacle, we had an example of this in Exodus 40, and the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 1, and then you go down to verse 11, and thou shalt anoint the laver in his foot and sanctify it, and thou shalt bring Aaron and his sons unto the door of the tabernacle with congregation, and wash them with water, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So even there, before the actual work of the tabernacle was done, they were sanctified, filled with water, and then that anointing oil, and they received their garments. After that, they were to go back and wash. Well, aren't we supposed to continuously repent, stay in the word, and recognize that we have buried our old man, thinking about what our baptism represented.
Sure.
And so, but again, you have that picture there of the water baptism, even with the tabernacle.
That's in Exodus 40, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the pattern is seen there in the Old Testament, even as we have it in the New. They weren't clothed, they weren't qualified, they hadn't gone through the preparation fully that God had for them until they were cleansed and washed there at the laver. I think it's even the language that was used. Is there another hand up before Brother Dale?
Back to what you were saying about Roger Williams smiling. A lot of times, as you read, it's just a reaction, like, well, who's going to baptize who? And they put their heads together, I'll baptize you. I mean, you can read that in two or three, at least more than two or three places. Like, and what we're going to do, well, I can baptize you, can you baptize the rest of us? That's the quick reaction.
Yeah.
I just try to think, and if I understand right, there was some baptisms or at least spiritual washings in the time of the first century. I think there were. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how much an explanation in teaching that John was saying, what are we fixing to do? Lord, if you're baptized with God, sent me baptized with water. And then the explanation of why they were doing what they were saying from the picture, obedience to God's command, all these things. And yeah, not me, because I was given the authority to. All these things were taught, no doubt. And I can't imagine just maybe the first 10 people to get baptized.
Gone.
The authority given to John.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the teaching and explanation that went with it. And then we see, like you said, in our history that some people say, well, he just baptized me and I'm baptized for instance, it's like John. There's no way it's like John. I just can't help think of that.
The practice may have been for somebody watching across the valley.
Yeah.
Similar, but their intention, their motivation, their purpose, their conduct really didn't resemble John the Baptist at all. Not just in the physical activity of it, in God's part being played. So I asked you to John chapter 3, right? I'm not going to read, but just take notice and go through it real quickly in verse 22 and verse 23. John's baptizing in Enon near Salem. Jesus is there with his disciples in verse 22 and baptizing. John's not yet cast into prison. And then this discussion comes up that I want to read in verses 25 through verse 30. Okay. There was a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Now, it gets confused and messed up, sometimes even in biblical language. We have a hard time and we don't like a couple of passages that I'm going to give just to... Because the Bible references it. Oh, we don't like it. We're uncomfortable almost every time it's brought up. maybe we'll look at later. Acts 22, verse 16, write these down so that we, if I don't bring it back up, you can call my feet to the fire the next class time or two, okay? We will deal with these. Acts 22, verse 16, and then in Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Question comes up to John's disciples. Between John's disciples, a discussion apparently, and the Jews about purifying. And they, so they came to John in verse 26, and they said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, whom thou bearest witness, they're talking about Jesus, he's, what was his witness? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Previously baptized him, right? Behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Baptism was new, and I can appreciate Brother Dale's statement. What if you were the first one that submitted and came to? And John did. He didn't baptize everybody. He demanded fruits meet for repentance for some of them. But it was new to this time and generation, wasn't it? And now John's not the only one doing it. Jesus and his disciples are. We read in those couple of verses. Right after what we'll read here, we're not going to read through all of it, but in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, same reference. Jesus is baptizing, although Jesus isn't doing the baptizing, but his disciples in his presence, by his name, by his authority. Okay. Jesus is baptizing. And now, verse 27 really is the one that answers the question for me about all the particular Baptists in England and John Smythe and Roger Williams, why they can't baptize after the pattern of John. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Authority and administrator isn't something that we can do just on our own. Okay? Anybody who wants to claim Matthew 18, what is it, 20, 21, 22, wherever two or three gather together in my name, they're mine in the midst of them. I'm also going to quote, most of you familiar with Matthew chapter 7, 21 through 23. There's all kinds of people who do good works and even miracles in the name of Jesus. What good is that going to do even in Jesus' name when they stand before him in judgment if everything's not in order? What did Jesus tell them? Depart from me, workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Just having the name of Jesus isn't enough. Okay, if the authority's not right and if you're not doing it in the right order. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I am sent before him. Where was John Smythe ever sent from, and by whom? Or even Roger Williams, Brother Daniel.
Understand the phrasing there. We don't use phrasing like this. That's dealing with authority.
That's exactly authority. That's what he's bringing out, especially in verse 27. Except it be given him from heaven. Okay. It's not... The word is not the authority. Otherwise, people can just take it and do whatever they want to with. Authority is not in the word. Authority teaches and presents. The word teaches and presents authority and lead us to authority. But man can't just take the Bible and I'm doing it. Even in the pattern and the example that was done in the first century, that's not biblical authority. That's not the keys of the kingdom of heaven that was given to the church in Matthew 16, verse 19. Matthew chapter 18. The Gospel of John. That's not the same thing just because they have the word. Okay, if you have a question about that, you need to study it out and find that. Yeah. Write it down. We'll give you opportunity. We'll go through that in scriptures if you need it. When he says in verse 26 and verse 27, or verse 27 and verse 28, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. If you're not doing it after the biblical order, it don't matter. Even if you're doing the right thing. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I'm not the Christ, but I am sent before him. That's why it's good to know what Isaiah and Malachi has to say about the forerunner who would come and what he would do. Okay, prophecies about John the Baptist and his ministry.
Okay.
Yes, Sister Robert.
John chapter, as was referenced earlier, tells us how he was sent. Not of his own accord, not of his own will, but by God.
But by God. Specifically. And I suggest to you, not by birth. But God gives the record from his birth and even conception with Mary and, excuse me, with Elizabeth and Zechariah, because God gives us the details and the record of John being somebody special with a purpose and sent, and it was fulfilling prophecy. It wasn't just that. I mean, that's as stupid for the... If you'll bear with me just a minute or two. For the Baptist in England and for Smythe and Williams to say, I'm doing this because God sent me, as it is, it's just as stupid and senseless makes it, as Joseph Smith said when he started the Mormons. I received a vision and I knew this was missing, and so this is what God gave me to do. No, no.
The devil.
It is just as nonsensical biblically for people to try to argue that. And they hide behind the name of the term Baptist, and sometimes even the biblical example, but they leave out stuff like this that we're looking at right here in these verses of Scripture. Okay. Then in verse 29, and we use it for other things, but let's take it in context. It means the exact same thing as we normally look at. But recognize it in context and who he's speaking to, his disciples. And the other Jews that are arguing about what? Authority. And about Jesus is baptizing, and we thought you were the baptizer, and you had authority, and now Jesus is doing it, and even trying to put the two of them together in conflict one with another, but they were in absolute harmony with one another. John says in verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Ephesians chapter 5 isn't the only place that that references. Okay? Even in Jesus' ministry at the time, his church was recognized that way by John, especially right here. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which heareth, standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Do you really honor and recognize Jesus as the Messiah, as God's Son? I have need to be baptized in thee. But you know what? It was more than just his deity. It was a recognition. Hey, all these people that I... Why was it so important that his disciples followed Jesus? Because they were the bride he's referring to in this verse of Scripture. Well, he's still there, rejoicing in that. Rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay. A lot of people in the first century, a lot of people in our generation still want to pit John's baptism against Jesus' baptism, and sometimes even to the point of denying John's baptism. In the book of Acts, especially in 18 and 19, they don't understand and get all everything in its proper order. If they would from the beginning, it's not hard. It's not confusing. Maybe I can know that and remember all that when you read chapter 18 and chapter 19 of the book of Acts. But boy, it just comes together like a hand in a glove, a perfect fit, if you know the biblical pattern and order and how they do fit together. Brother Travis, you just stretching, or didn't know if you would get your head up. Brother, no.
Not to totally derail, but in 22, you have Jesus' instance, talking about Jesus and his disciples baptizing. And if you just read 23 right after it, it sounds like they're baptizing at the same time. You have to read 24 that tells you when this takes place, which is John was not yet cast into prison. Now
this discussion right here.
Yeah. And I'm assuming, maybe I'm placing this in the wrong spot. I put this in the 40 days Jesus was in the wilderness because he'd not yet heard that John was cast into prison. Is that the wrong timeline, or is that?
No. This is after when you get back.
Verse 25, the question is, they come to John. Why do they have to come to John? Where do they have to come to John? They come to John when John is cast into prison because he was off the scene, and that's what he tells those who come to.
In these three verses, and it's probably caused as much and more confusion as anywhere in the New Testament concerning these things. Jesus is baptizing in verse 22. In verse 23, John also baptizing was near Salem. There's much water came there. People came to him to be baptized, for John's not yet cast into prison. Well, he's baptizing. But the other Gospels and even evidences in John, Jesus didn't start his until after Jesus is in prison.
Verse 26.
Okay. Verse 26 comes to that. Verse 26, in prison, possibly. That's why even the discussion that the disciples of John and the Jews have are brought to John separately or after the fact that they're even confronted with this. He's not baptized, but he's still alive and he's still given the testimony of this, his place and position and his relationship with Jesus.
Probably very similar seeing them to Matthew 11 when John's disciples are still coming to him.
Coming to Jesus, them, even though John's in...
And he's telling them, don't come to me anymore.
Jesus' ministry...
The New Testament church.
Jesus' ministry has started. John's in prison. I can tell you with confidence, what seems like in these three verses that they're baptizing together and at the same time, no, doesn't happen. This discussion takes place at... after John's baptizing. John's not baptizing anymore. He's still alive, most probably in prison, yeah. See, Jesus doesn't start his ministry until John's in prison, after his 40 days.
So is the baptizing that John is doing in 23 and 24, not the big time as his disciples? But then you're saying 25 takes us to when John's disciples come to him when he's in prison?
Yes.
I don't see any reason why it's not the same time here. While that's happening,
he was not yet cast into prison.
He was not yet cast into prison. While that baptism in verse 23 is going on,
it's describing the place he was baptizing. Not that he was baptizing; it's describing down near Salim. That's where Jesus and his disciples baptized in that Jordan River Valley.
We get confused by it. I know it's all the same chapter right here, but if you've got the paragraph marks in verse 25, verse 22. Get rid of those and just read through it. With the context and the recognition that is described in the other Gospels, let that be your key with this. Because when this looks like they're both baptizing at the same time, the other Gospels have already established that doesn't happen. Jesus doesn't start his ministry. Jesus isn't baptizing the same time John is, not till after John's cast into prison. Verse 23 and verse 24, a single statement of John and John's baptizing. I don't think it applies so much to verse 25.
So it'd be like a flashback.
Because Jesus has already started his church in verse 29. He's got the bride with him.
Yep.
It's a flashback statement that the discussion and John being confronted about this while he's still alive, but he's not a free out loose preaching and baptizing anymore. Sister Rhonda.
Well, if you consider John was sent by God to prepare, and we look at the pattern, but as a little holy Abba and the others that God gave the gifts to, prepare the material before Moses wrote the tabernacle.
Material was prepared.
Finished and completed.
Okay. Material was prepared when Jesus called his disciples. Okay. In verse 25, question came up about what? Purifying. Sanctifying. What does baptism do? We don't use this term all the time in our preaching and teaching, but I'm going to right now. It qualifies and allows an individual by the proper procession of salvation, baptism, church order. What does that do? It sanctifies and sets them apart. We don't always use baptism and sanctification together. What is sanctification? Cleansing many times by God. How does baptism cleanse? The confusion comes up in those verses of scripture that I gave to you because then it's almost with water. We're cleansed. We're cleansed by the purifying and the sanctifying and the setting apart of the individual. It's sanctifying because, and I know this isn't a part of our major, the way we speak of it most of the time, but individuals are not qualified as church to be church members without what first? Testimony of salvation and baptism. Those are qualifiers, aren't they? They sanctify and make them, set them apart, make them available from what they were before baptism. They were saved, but they hadn't followed. They hadn't experienced that. What does that do to an individual? John even speaks up right here, and what the discussion immediately was, it's not the purifying of the flesh or of the individual, and yes, it is his life, but it is his setting aside for proper service. Okay? Just like, and then in the same manner and pattern that we're familiar with in that 40th chapter of the book of Exodus. What did Aaron and his sons have to go through before they were fit to serve inside the tabernacle? That washing. Brother Daniel.
Well, and you're going to, this is one of the reasons why Baptism is such an important doctrine to understand, because there's so many layers of understanding. Many people in the world are talking about, they make it so simplistic. Well, it's just dumping somebody in the water. Maybe dumping somebody in the water all you want, but you must not agree that God is behind it.
God is behind it.
That's what makes it's important. It's that we're supposed to follow. It's something that we're supposed to do, but there's so much more behind it.
Okay. If we haven't emphasized it already, and I know we've discussed a lot more scripture, even the one we read this morning, underlined and emphasized somehow, verse 27. I'm out of time. I'm going to let Brother Cooper come up here. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. That's not just John's authority to baptize. What's the answering? What is the question to begin with? Purifying of John in verse 25? No, how can everybody else be purified that same way? How can everybody else be sanctified in a proper way? And not only that, but I read down through verse 29, who's qualified to be in that bride? You know and understand that, it narrows it down even more. John couldn't be. Other Jews couldn't be until what and when? Until they were baptized and would follow. That was part of the qualifying. It was part of the cleansing, the purifying. That a man can't receive except it come from heaven. That's why authority and administrator is important, because that's God's order. And if that's missing, then all it is a dunking and getting wet physically. It doesn't qualify. It doesn't meet God's qualification of what one baptism is. Might as well have more. So let's stand. We'll let Brother Cooper come up. Brother, no.
You shared about the Hopewell Church last night, and I was reading through a little bit of that article that you had. And it was talking about their building the meeting house in 1753, and they appointed a manager to manage it. And then in 1756, they said there was still some small part to finish yet on the meeting house. So that means Baptist building projects have always been the same.
You're not being holy.
A lot of truth to that.
It's doing after a year.
Treasure back then.
Yeah. I'll have you know the first treasure in church was 52. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind that long.
Brother Alex, you look like a spiritual man. We're joking, the word perverse.